Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber Podcast. My name is Tony Groves, and today we're talking about building defects again, something we've spoken to about on this podcast several times and with several experts and redress and how the state seems to be absent in a lot of these situations. And Martin, you're in Ashburn. You know a lot about this
Pyrite capital of the world, Tony. Pyrite capital of the world is Ashburn. The work that has gone around in Ashburn to fix that problem is immense.
Yeah. We've seen these cases. We've seen events like things like Priory Hall. We've seen all of these defects. We've talked to Deirdre Neeline on this podcast a couple of times. She's brilliant in construction law and talks about this, you know, how these things should operate and what a good model looks like. But we're going to focus on, unfortunately, we're joined by Eamon Jackson, who's the chairperson of the Mica Action Group and is one of the founding members. And you're also an affected homeowner, Eamon. Thanks so much for talking to us on the pod.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me.
Listen, Eamon, I understand, like most of our listeners are aware of the story of how it's gone, but do you want to just give a quick synopsis for the benefit of those who maybe aren't as familiar, and we'll ask some open questions from there if that's okay?
Yeah, sure. Just like pyrite, muscovite mica is found in the rock. So when you go to break up the rock to make your blocks for your home, muscovite mica is in there. Now, there was a statute made back in 1949 that says that the maximum amount of mica allowed in a building block is 1%. And they found that for every 1% of mica found in a building block, that it reduces the strength of that block by 5%. Now, we have blocks of our homeowners that have up to 58% mica within the blocks. And what happens when you make the block is that it's a block. It'll be the Newton strength that the building block manufacturer will say it is. So if they say it's seven Newton, it's 7 Newton. However, over time, because muscovite mica is in that block and it's been hit by moisture, that moisture will seep into the block and the block will start to deteriorate. So within the first couple of years, your home could be perfect. In my case, the home was built in 2000. In 2007, I went out and I decided, you know what? It's a nice summer. I'll paint the walls. And I went out and painted the walls and there was hairline cracks. And I thought, you know, I'll just use the roller a little bit heavier there and we'll try and get some paint in it. And, you know, it'll all be ground. In 2010, I had an engineer come to the house for a different reason. And in 2010, he took a coin. And he actually placed a coin into one of the cracks. And that picture actually is the cover of the Mica Expert report, which has gone out nationally. But it's my wall, his coin. But that was the size of the crack at the time. Right now, you can get your hand completely in to where into 3 or 4 areas of my home. So it's something that just deteriorates over time. I've got walls which are bulging out and pushing out to the side, pushing out so much that the wall itself has actually detached itself from the back wall and pushed itself out by about 2 inches. So the difference to pyrite is that pyrite was the underpinning of the homes. Unfortunately, with mica, the blocks will have to come out of the home. So the whole home has got to go. Now, within the scheme itself, the scheme that was launched, there's different levels to that of remediation. They reckon that if you fix the outer leaf, well, then the blocks which are still internal in the house, which have mica, as long as they don't get
moisture,
the blocks will be fine.
Eamon, where did the blocks come from?
Now, the blocks mainly have come from one manufacturer. It mainly came from one quarry. That quarry has provided blocks to North Donegal and Derry.
Stop right there. Gonna stop the podcast right there. Listen, we do this. This is called an advert. This is all about you paying for the podcast you're listening to. Now, if you don't want these adverts, there's a really simple way to avoid them. pay for the podcast and you don't get these adverts put in. The reason we do this is they cost money to produce. People are putting a lot of work into them, and we want to keep this podcast going. We want to make sure that we keep these conversations that are vitally important going. So look, get on patreon.com/tortoiseshack. That's how you become a Patreon. That's how you fund this to keep going.
It mainly came from one quarry. That quarry has provided blocks to North Donegal and Derry. And at the time, they produced blocks at two different Newton strengths, one for the English regulations and one for the Irish regulations.
Can I guess which one is the tougher regulation?
Well, yeah, the UK one was the stronger Newton strength. But then again, we're not talking Newton strength here. Whenever you talk to the manufacturer about the blocks, he will say that he produced them to the correct Newton strength, the correct standards at the time. However, he did not produce them to the correct mica standard, which was a maximum of 1% mica. And as we can see,
Was there an obligation to do that, Eamon?
There was actually an obligation on the state to come in and make sure that that was happening. And that's where the state were deficient in their eyes.
And how many homes in total do you think are impacted?
Well, across Donegal, we feel that it could be 4,000 to 5,000 homes. We know that Donegal County Council announced last week that they have 1,000 homes, roughly, within their public housing.
Within their stock.
Yeah, which they believe are covered in mica. There's also public buildings. In Letterkenny, there's the local leisure centre is cracking away. There's a HSE building which is cracking away. In Carndonagh, there's a school. The county council offices in Inishowen. Many public buildings which were built with these blocks also have to go, and none of them are under the scheme.
Sorry, Mark, can I come in? I'm conscious. So in 4,000 homes, you might recall, you were said in 2000, there were things called home bond. There were, there was protections in place that all came up into the run up to the crash. I'm assuming some of these are developments and some of them are self-builds, Eamon?
Yes, they are, but mixture of both. With regards home bond and with regards house insurance, both have come back to let us know that the defective substance was in the block before the house was actually insured or before the actual home bond was taken on the house. And because of that, it wasn't covered.
Yeah, well, look, home bond has been found to be ineffective in all of these cases. I just point to it because the banks used to insist on it in parts of the mortgage, which is quite funny that they insist on this thing that has never been able to be enforced and step in where the state now is on the hook. And that's, unfair is fair. Can I, another side to this, though, like the scale of that you've just mentioned, the public buildings that... the engineers, the supervisors, you said you had to have an engineer come to look for a separate issue. When these were originally built, they were signed off by someone. Do these people still exist, or have they also post crash are no longer in those entities?
Some of these people still exist. It's 20 years later. And yes, you could probably go looking for that person. They may be retired. They may have died. 20 years is a long time. But, those people signed off on blocks. Now, they didn't take a test of that block to check on mica content or what we call the shift within blocks itself. Nobody was worried about pyrite or mica or anything like that back in 2000. All they seen was the blocks and a certificate, a CE certificate, saying that the blocks were a certain strength. And they signed off on that.
And just, I know this is kind of technical as well, but what are the latest dates, do you think, of some of these homes that were built up to? We're talking about the early 2000s here, but I've heard of homes built as late as 2015.
You're correct, Tony. We found a home that was built in 2018, and they had their blocks tested, and it came back with 7% mica in the
wow.
That's unreal. Eamon, what exactly are the homeowners looking for?
100% redress. This is not their fault.
How?
How's it not their fault? Or
No. How do you go about getting redress?
Well, what does it look like, first of all?
What does redress look like?
Yeah.
Okay. I can tell you, we worked incredibly hard for 8 years to get a scheme. And it was with a heavy heart that we eventually said, you know what, 90-10, we only have to pay 10%. It's a price of a good car, 30 grand, and we'll have our homes fixed. And, you know, that was the news at the time, and we thought, okay, we'll go for that. Unfortunately, always the devil is in the detail. The scheme was passed in January 2020. We did not see the actual scheme itself, the ins and outs of it, until June of 2020. And when we did, we realized that A, there was caps on the amount of money that could be spent, and B, we discovered that there was exemptions to the actual scheme as well. So things like you're asked to use, you know, I mean, we're talking about 20 odd years of homes here. You're asked to reuse your kitchen, your windows, your doors, your bathrooms, your radiators. So put them all into storage for a year while your home has been demolished. Build a new home and put them back into the new home. And, you know, with all these NZEG regulations, you know, 20 years ago, everybody would have double glazing windows. And, you know, the government is looking at everybody putting in treble glazing now and having air to water heating. And, you know, this isn't part of this scheme.
Mm.
Also, rental costs are not included. Over the cost of a year, you could be paying 10 to 12,000 in rental costs as it stands now. But could you imagine a couple of hundred homes starting to look for homes in Donegal? And there are very few free homes to rent in Donegal. The price is just going to go through the roof for those homes when you do eventually get them. So what are we looking for? You know, all those costs, if the government were to pay 100% of the price of rebuilding the full home, all those exemptions are still there. We need those exemptions covered within the 100% as well. And not only that, to what level is your home going to be rebuilt? There has to be somebody, some kind of a surveyor that can walk in. And you know what? You've got solid wooden floors here in your home. So, you know, maybe you need a little bit extra because, you know, can we get 100% like for like? Because within Pyrite, they got 100% like for like within their homes. So it's not just going to be, well, okay, we're going to build every home back to a county council level. We really need like 100%.
Well, I can tell you now, Eamon, that the new county council standards tend to be better than a lot of the private these days. And that's because they have to apply to higher standards. And I mean, Orla Hegarty will tell you that, you know, that some of the plans, if we've gone with that. But I will point out, though, for listeners' benefit, like if you're talking insurance and you, let's just say it was your kitchen you had a problem with and they were doing a replacement, it would be new for old. You know, you would get the standard and you would get the oven that was new. They wouldn't give you an equivalent of your oven, say it was 7 years old, and say, let's find a 7 year old oven. That's just, you know, that's not the way these things operate. Can I ask, you're saying 8 years. The momentum has only kind of really gathered pace. Why is it gathering traction now, and why is it so much more critical that we move on this now?
What happened was, when the scheme came out, we started to do the maths behind the scheme, and we had spoken to both the Minister and Donegal County Council and put forward the issues that we seen about costings. And they said, well, okay, we can't do anything until we see actual costings coming through. So we had to wait until April of this year before we got a survey of homes. So there was 43 homes which were first through the actual scheme. And we did an average of that 43 homes and said, well, okay, how much extra will that homeowner need to spend on top of the scheme to get their home back to where it was? And we discovered that the average was just over 100,000 euros that those homeowners would have to give to just put their homes back the way they were.
Sorry, Martin, go ahead.
Sorry, yeah,
you mentioned that some of these bricks had been sold in Derry as well.
Yeah.
Do they have address in Derry, or are they handling it a different way?
Well, we have heard that there is an estate in Derry which have shown to have mica within the blocks. There is one estate there, definitely. It's not something that has raised its head. But then again, the Newton strength of those blocks were stronger.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, because I mean,
twice the side.
People who notice more, smarter people than me, which is there's many, you know, have indicated that the blocks can tolerate a slightly higher level of mica if the concrete component is higher. But concrete tends to be the more expensive ingredient, as they put it, and that's why they could cost. How, like, surely there was some supervision that's because if these are being signed off, sure, I keep going back to it. Someone knew that these blocks weren't the standard and was continuing to deliver them on that basis.
Yeah, I mean, if you're thinking about the word neglect, well, then maybe. If anything was neglectful, it would have been the oversight from the government on this would have been neglectful. Hence the reason why the expert panel said that there was no, in the report from June 2017, the expert panel said that there was no supervision of blocks that were leaving these quarries. And they recommended that to stop this happening in the future, that these quarries have some form of an engineer there.
Yeah, and I want to go back to it because I'm looking at it here. There has been an implication that they fixed it in sort of 2010 with a regulation on how the block strength would be, and that should have just solved everything overnight. But obviously, it was well and good saying this was being done, but there was no supervision of it. I'm right in saying that.
That's correct.
So it's, again, it's typical of, well, we wrote this line down, but we never put anything behind it.
We did the paperwork, Tony. That's it. We just did the paperwork. Eamon, how are you going to resolve this? What's coming up? What are you working towards?
Okay, well, I suppose this is a busy week for us. We're getting a lot of coverage because a couple of weeks ago, on the back of what I mentioned previously, the issues with the costs, we got to the radio. We told everybody, look, you know, if you're demolishing your home, we're looking at these kind of bills. And that's where people got angry. And one person in particular, a Paddy Diver, took to social media and he gave a rant. And that rant got so many likes that he also went down to the local, it was a building site in Carndonagh. And he's seen that this supplier was putting in blocks into this building site. And he just had enough. He parked his van in front of the gates to this building site. And he started making phone calls. And over 200 people turned up and demonstrated outside this site. It went up on social media. And then from there, he organized two rallies, one in Letterkenny, one in Buncrana. And they estimate that almost 10,000 people turned up to these rallies in the two areas. And, you know, what's the next step after doing that? Well, the next step is to come to Dublin, and that's happening tomorrow. So, you know, we've had a huge amount of business support coming through. Local businesses offered thousands of euros. We've paid for placards, T-shirts, masks, and also paid for buses. There's over 40 buses coming from Donegal down to Dublin tomorrow morning. And, you know, don't be surprised if the quays are full tomorrow morning.
Where, I was just going to say, where and when?
Yeah, it's starting at the convention center at about 1 o'clock. I think the speeches are due to start at 1:30, and there'll be 4 speeches. The Mike Action Group will be giving the last speech, number 4. But before that, we'll have Paddy Diver and Eileen from Paddy's group. And after that, there'll be a 25-minute walk to Leinster House, and there'll be a demonstration from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock outside Leinster House tomorrow. And you know, every son, daughter, auntie, aunt, granny of Donegal is expected to be there. We've had a lot of support from stars, also Barry McGuigan, Anna Friel, tweeting about us. Some have actually said that they're going to turn up on the day. Don't be surprised if you see members of Clannad walking around. So it's going to be hopefully a good, safe day out for everybody. And we will get the message across to government that it's far bigger than they believe.
I think that is the thing that the public don't realize, the scale. When you say 4,000 homes in the context of Donegal, I mean... I hate to break it to you, lads, but Donegal is probably the slightly around the same population as Blanchardstown, the greater Blanchardstown area. Mm-hmm. 4,000 homes is a lot of homes in if you were to put that in that context. Politically, the government have certainly changed the mood music, Eamon. They've said some positive things in terms of it, but they're great at saying one thing and then delivering the other. Have you had any be it opposition or actual the government themselves, what is your sense of where the thinking is on those fronts?
Yeah, we had the Taoiseach arrive in the county last week, and it was the first time that he had the opportunity to put a mica block into his hand. And, you know, the first thing he asked the homeowner was, so where are you on the scheme? And the homeowner said, well, I'm still not on the scheme because I can't afford to be there where, you know, I'm a chef. My wife's a chef. We haven't been working for the last 15 months. We have a number of children. You know, our priority is our children and keeping the roof that's falling above our head, but keeping it above our head. And, you know, we can't afford the 7,000 euros that it takes to enter your scheme. And the Taoiseach said, well, you know, don't worry, we'll look after you with that one, you know. But I think you could see the horror in the Taoiseach's face that he asked the wrong question to the right person. And he certainly left Donegal a lot clearer of the issues that are there. So, I mean, within the government side, I think the government understand what's going on. He met with the Attorney General. I had a phone call from Dara O'Brien yesterday. He went on to Highland this morning. And, you know, they're trying to push and take ownership of this from the government side. From the opposition side, Mary Lou and Sinn Féin are tabling a motion for tomorrow. And that motion is looking for 100% redress for the mica homeowners in Donegal, Mayo, Clare. And I think, you know, there may be Limerick and others included, but those with effective block issues. And ultimately, all your listeners, you know, from my side, tweet your local TD. Let's fill their inboxes, fill their Twitter with telling them to wear their county jersey and to support the Sinn Féin motion. Forget about party politics. I have a feeling this is so big within each of the counties that if you're seen voting the wrong way on this one, I would have a feeling you might as well pack your bags from Leinster House because you've lost the will of your constituency, you know. And it's
I'm going to ask you another question, Eamon. Considering that it's 4,000 homes in Donegal and we don't know what else there is, or we don't have exact figures of the numbers elsewhere, can you put a ballpark figure on total redress for fixing this problem, to fix the problem, a bottom line figure? And Tony, you might know, how much cheaper is that than letting people go homeless?
From our side, we estimate that the total bill for full redress would be closer to 3 billion. And have said 1 billion is what they're willing to put forward. But with them saying 1 billion, that's far from a 90-10 grant scheme, which was what they asked, which is what they promised us initially. You know, the fact that they made they made these caps, which were completely wrong. I mean, the cap at €275,000 of a total cost for a full demolition of a house actually only covers a 2,000 square foot home. Now, within our first 43 homes that we surveyed, the average house size, and you can Google this as well, you can go onto Google and see what the average home size in Donegal is, but the average home size is 2,400 square foot, which means that that extra 400 square foot, that homeowner is going to have to pay that 400 by the cost of rebuilding per square foot, which is anywhere between 120 and 140 euros per square foot.
Again,
the 275, which you have to pay the 10% for. So you're paying 27,500 to get that 275. And then you have that extra 400 square foot. And that's the average. So 80% of homeowners are outside of this scheme.
Yeah, they can't avail of it.
No. And just
to Martin's point though on that, like, I know it's not, but it is very real for certain people that it comes down to that. And like the average cost of a family into 1 year in homelessness is nearly €80,000 in the state. I mean, that's the cost in terms of financially. So, you know, rough bracket is, so back sums to 320 million in year one. 320 million in year one to fix something, you know, that is a lifelong home. Eamon, just I suppose last thing for me is we've got the call to action. We've got the idea that, you know, let's have this bill passed. Coming from that though, in terms of also the 100% redress, I get, but how do we stop it happening going forward? Like, I mean, you spoke to the minister. Yeah. Surely that should be one of his big concerns, that this is not still ongoing.
Yeah, I've sent a letter to the new CEO of Donegal County Council, John McLaughlin, and I CC Dara O'Brien, Charlie McConnellogue, and others into it. And that letter was stating the results of the MICA expert panel in June 2017, where they asked for supervision of these blocks to make sure. You know, the panel said to make sure that this does not happen again within the country, you need somebody overseeing block production within these quarries. And I've asked the question, is that happening right now?
And that's a good question to ask. And I presume you haven't got an answer to that.
Well, Martin, just there's one story today in the Irish Times that says they did everything right. We got a good builder. We got the architect signed it off. We did it all through the process, and the house is crumbling. Yeah. So I mean, you know, there's no question here that these people, these families, these people have been. And it's not just like you're losing your home. I mean, like, it's a huge difference between if I bought a dodgy, as I said earlier, microwave or something. This is your home. Something has to give here. Eamon, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us. We really appreciate it. We wish you all the best. We would ask our listeners to definitely get going on social media. What are you using the tag, Eamon?
Yes, hashtag Micah Redress.
Okay, so we're about to find it there.
And I think you'll get a warm welcome from the Dubs when you get down here as well, Eamon.
Good. And, you know, do contact your TD, and if you know, local TDs, and tell them that you want them to support the Sinn Féin motion tomorrow. The vote will actually take place on Wednesday. But, you know, 100% redress is only the first step, because there are many other things that need to make happen. Make sure that there's a state guarantee in those homes when they're built, so that if let's say those homes are rebuilt with defective blocks, well, then there's a state guarantee which says that, you know, if there's any issues in the future, we're going to fix it. No questions asked. And that doesn't exist at the moment. And until that state guarantee actually exists, we're going to have issues with insurance companies, with mortgage companies. If you sell the house and somebody else looking for a mortgage on it, well, that house had MICA. So, you know, if somebody said, well, okay, that MICA is still in the home because you only did an outer leaf, well, then those insurance companies and MICA or mortgage companies are going to have issues unless there's a state guarantee. So we need to follow that through also.
Thanks, Simon. Thanks for taking the time to come on and talk with us. And just to remind listeners, Tortoise Shack survives on patrons. So come on, sign up, be a patron, patreon.com/Tortoise Shack. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much. Take care.
Bye-bye. Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber Podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.